Acts 19, and I want to talk about the curious arts tonight as we have another message on issues. And I know you're going to be tempted very much to look at the sheet that I'm passing out to you, but I'd rather have you look at the Bible right now. In Acts chapter 19, I want to read verses 17 through 20. Acts 19, 17 through 20. It says, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." And I want you to know what happened here as a result of this action. It says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Please notice verse 20. "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." When the first century church dealt with the curious arts that they had been involved in, the Bible says a revival came as a result of that. The Word of God began to grow in that area. The Word of God prevailed. That means it won. It got the victory in that area. But prior to that, those who were believers, those who became believers, it says, they came and confessed and showed their deeds, verse 18. It said, look, we're believers in Jesus Christ, and we have a confession to make. We have been involved in some of these things. And it says that they were involved in something in verse 19 called curious arts. The curious arts refer to magical and mystical and arts and spiritualism and those things which are thriving and they're alive and well in America and they are growing profoundly in our society. The curious arts. Now, just to give you an example, these newspapers are less than a week old, and this one is a little bit over a week old. This one is from Saturday, and July 21st, today is the 29th, and the front page shows a bunch of children here at a bookstore dressed in black gothic clothing, dressed up like witches and wizards, and the title on the front page of our newspaper says, "Rushing for Wizardly Revelation," and of course, this is the sale of the book Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the seventh book in a series by by J.K. Rowling, the lady who is involved in curious arts and has written these books for children to read. And so this was a week ago Saturday, and they're waiting there for the book. And then the next day, it's again the front page of the Buffalo News a week ago from today, Sunday, A Tale of Temptation and Twists. And it talks about Harry Potter here, and it shows a young lady reading the last book of Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows. And there is a lot in these books about the curious arts and about witchcraft and wizardry and so on and so forth. 759 pages in that book. And as that came out, and as they opened the gates, and I believe they sold 12 million copies in one day, and then 2.2 million more just from early internet orders. And I believe it's up close to between 16 and 20 million copies of this was sold in our country. And it is introducing children to the occult, to wizardry, to witchcraft, and many other of the magical arts that are addressed for us tonight in the Bible. And it tells us here what they did back in the first century as a church. It says, and many of them also, verse 19, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. I don't know that amount of what that means. I think Pastor Seth mentioned one time what it may have been, the value of those books. Was it you telling me? No. $6 or $7 million worth of books. This must have been a tremendous revival. And as a result of burning those books, notice which book prevailed in verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, we've heard in testimony meeting tonight from those that were out at the Dunkirk Fair soul winning that they have found many, many hungry people. And there's many hungry people in this world, and they're going to fill that void with something. They're going to fill that void with something. Now, I know the arguments. I've heard the arguments. First of all, the first argument is, well, it's just fiction. It's just fiction. Okay, and that's true. It's fiction. It's a fictional book. There's no argument about that. But it is what the children are being introduced to in the fiction. That doesn't cause all of them, but does cause some of them to stray towards the occult. And then others have said the argument, well, hey, at least the children are reading. At least they're not watching television. At least they're not playing video games and they're not on the internet. At least they're reading. And I'm all for reading. I'm all for literacy. And I believe we ought to read. And but we ought to read those things that are right. I mean, we certainly would not ever say, well, let's write a 7-volume series of books for children about a prostitute. We wouldn't allow that, would we? Or even a witch. Or a con artist, or a thief. You see, but wizardry, well, that's okay. You know, we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. And we're all thinking, oh, that's such innocent. You know, such innocent fun. And at least the children are reading. But the author herself claims that she is into the occult. And she's into wizardry and witchcraft and so on and so forth. And it does matter. You know, things that you introduce people to often don't affect them, but there is a few that does. For instance, you can take 100 people, and the facts that I've learned, you can take 100 people to the casino in Niagara Falls. And 87 of them out of the 100 will have no effect on them. But 13 of them will become problem gamblers. And 7 of them will become addicted gamblers. And that's true with many other things in life. That what you introduce them to. Now the Bible is not silent on this matter. It is not silent. This is a Bible preaching church, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but if you're not interested in what the Bible says, you're just in the wrong place tonight. Because this is where a place where we study the Bible. And we believe the Bible is the Word of God to us. We believe it is the perfect revelation of God to mankind that reveals to us His mind and His heart. And that's what I want to do tonight about the curious arts. The curious arts. I'd like you to notice here, they burned those books and a great revival came to the church. Now turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 11. And here's something that we need to understand. I grew up with a witch in high school. He was actually a friend of mine, very, very nice fella. And he practiced what was called white witchcraft. He tried to explain to me the difference between white witchcraft, black witchcraft. Wonderful fella and as nice as could be. But you know something, just because a person is nice and contributes, and this man went on in life, and I witnessed to him, and I tried to win him to Christ, and I don't know what happened to him. He was a high school friend of mine, and I know he died last year. And And he became very pronounced in his community. He had seven of his own children. And he did rocket launches. He taught children how to build rockets like we do here and just became very well known in that area and influenced a lot of children. And I don't know whatever happened to him. I did notice that the funeral was done from a Christian church. Maybe my testimony had some effect on him. I have no idea. But I want you to note that a lot of people in the spiritualist community are wonderful people. When you meet them, they are some of the nicest people you will ever meet, and their only desire, I believe, is to help others. And they really think that this is the means to help people. But with that in mind, would you please read with me, I'll read out loud, 2 Corinthians 11. And I want you to notice verse 14. It says, and no marvel, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, don't marvel at this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now note this verse here, verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. It's no great thing if they appear as ministers of righteousness. And this man and I used to have many, many debates on, I guess, as much of a level as you can as a teenager, what I knew of the Word of God and what he knew about his witchcraft. And he assured me, Art, all I want to do is help people with this. I believe this is a means, a medium, a power whereby I can help people. And he was thoroughly convinced that that was the means to really help other people. I'm kind of glad I had that experience growing up, and I kept witnessing to him and showing him Bible verses and so on and so forth. And that's one of the ways that I ended up writing this flyer that you'll get here in just a few moments. But listen, many of them are good people. This is a common argument that is used in many areas of life that try to justify behavior that is wrong. For instance, in the homosexual community, there's many wonderful people. Do you know that? I met some of them. Many wonderful, unbelievable contributions to society. And we're glad for those, and we applaud those. But that doesn't justify the behavior of homosexuality. Okay? A guy could be a pedophile and make tremendous contributions to society in some area of science or philosophy or whatever, but that doesn't justify pedophilia. You understand that? You've got to understand that. That a person's contributions to society, which may be tremendous, some of the greatest musicians, some of the greatest classical musicians ever, whose music we enjoy, amazing music, had perversions in their life. And their contributions do not justify the perversions. Just as my contributions as a pastor do not justify any sin I may commit. And so it is in this dark world of spiritualism, which often appears as all light. Now, I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And as far as I'm concerned, and this is where some may disagree with me, as far as I'm concerned, all that matters is what God says about an issue. That's all that matters, what God says about an issue. What does the Bible say? Now, I want you to notice in Deuteronomy 18 and verses 9 through 14, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, let me just define the word abominations, and then he's going to list here eight of them. An abomination is something that is not only hated, but is disgusting. You know, you can hate something, but it's not disgusting. For instance, somebody can hate peas, but they're not disgusted if somebody else eats them. You understand that? Somebody can hate opera, but they're not disgusted if somebody else listens to it. There's a difference between hatred and an abomination. An abomination is something that is hated by God that is also disgusting to him. And he wrote the Bible. Now, these things might not be disgusting to us. We might be getting very much used to this. And by the way, the things that we are going to read, one of the wiles of the devil that we are told to be aware of is that he switches the labels on things. You're not going to see it as we read on here, but today they're called spiritualists. Today they're called palm readers. Today they're called psychics. Today they're called astrologers. He switches the labels on things, but the contents are the same. He's going to mention things here beginning in verses 10 through 14 that are an abomination. Notice he says they are the abominations, verse number 9. He says, I not only hate these things are disgusting to me, and I hope to illustrate later why God would feel that way. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Now, we don't do that today in our nation, but there are those that literally burn their children to death in other nations as they sacrifice those children to God. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Now notice what God does. He calls these abominations unto the Lord. Now verse 12, maybe they're not an abomination to you or me, but they are to him. And it says he drives them out from before thee. He says, when you go into Israel, the land that I give you, I'm going to drive all of these people that participate in these things out of your land. Now, this is Israel. We don't do this in America. We don't have witch hunts. That Salem witch hunt, that wouldn't, you know, that's not right. We don't go around killing people because they disagree with us. I think that's one of the wonderful things about Baptist history is Baptists have never killed anybody who disagrees with them. We preach against it. We pray, but we love people. No matter what they're involved in, we try to get them saved and try to get them delivered. We don't go around killing people who disagree with us. So we don't have witch hunts and so on in America. Back then, you're supposed to drive them out. Now, what are these 8 abominations to the Lord? I have a chart here that I worked on and made up, and I'll just go briefly through it. Here it said divination. Number 1 was abomination. Divination is the act of trying to foretell the future, a forecast of things to come. Number 2, an observer of times. An observer of times refers to astrology, the study professing to foretell the future and interpret the influences of heavenly bodies upon the destinies of people, that's stars and so on and so forth. An enchanter is one who uses spells or verbal charms spoken or sung as a part of a ritual of magic. And I mentioned enchanters this morning in Sunday school, and I believe a lot of these choruses and a lot of these, I don't even want to call them songs, but these chanting, this enchantment that's coming into the body of Christ, even in the independent Baptist church, is just spelling people and putting charms on them and bringing them into an emotional experience that they are misunderstanding as the supernatural. And a lot of these choruses are just chanting the same words over and over and over again. And I gave you a reference in Amos chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5, where they chanted to the viol, to the violins and the stringed instruments, and how the Lord brought judgment upon that, and tremendous control and power that enchantment can have on people. A witch, number 4, is a person who has supernatural powers, especially to do evil, with the help of the demon spirits or the devil. And as I mentioned earlier, I met this fellow growing up, and he tried to explain to me there's white witches and there's black witches, and there's those that practice, white magic, and those that practice black magic, and so on and so forth, and we who practice white magic, we just want to use this power to help people. And without a doubt, they do. In some cases, it's very helpful to people. Temporarily, but it just leads them more and more into the world of darkness and away from the light of God's Word. And then there's those that try to use black magic. If you don't believe it, just try to read some of our missionary letters. Read some of the places where our missionaries go, where witch doctors still have tremendous, witch doctors are more feared than presidents and governors in some lands. Now, we tonight ought to get on our knees, every one of us, and thank God for the presence of the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ for so many hundreds of years that has driven so much of that darkness out. But that stuff's starting to come back in. Starting to come back into our society. I was reading in this week's Penny Saver, just got it yesterday in the mail over in Angola, and they got a new club that's opening up in the village of Angola, and right down the street, one block away from me, a new bar, and their first meeting is going to be a meeting of going through all the history of the ghosts and the spirits of the village of Angola, and there's going to be a psychic there to explain the supernatural and so on, and that's how this place is going to open. Yesterday's Penny Saver. And this stuff is alive and well. A charmer, number five, is one who influences the senses or mind by magic powers. They can be very, very hypnotic. I believe some of these are what are called television evangelists. Not all. But I believe there's some charmers, charlatans, who are posing as ministers of righteousness, like we just read back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, who feign themselves and put hypnotic spells on people and so to speak, slay them in the Holy Ghost. I remember one time hearing a radio preacher, and I wrote about this one time, some of you remember the article. A radio preacher, very famous radio preacher in the early 1980s in this area, and he just had a way of just milking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars out of people. And I was a young pastor. And I went to a big rally he was having in Buffalo. And he was preaching, I guess you'd call it, and talking about his ministry and so on and so forth. And it was just, the music was just profoundly emotional, and the stories he told was emotional, and all that he was doing, so on and so forth. And then he had people get out his checkbooks, and then he worked the crowd afterwards, and he left Buffalo with thousands and thousands of dollars. And I went up to him, and I explained that I was a young preacher. We were just starting this church. It was only about a year old or something like that. And he came up to me, and he said, "Well, Art," he said, "let me just give you some advice." He just said, "Find somebody who's well-to-do. A lady. Hold her hand. Take her other hand. Take her hand, put her around her wrist. Look her in the eye. And just say, 'Dear sister, I appreciate you so much. I thank you for what you're doing for my ministry. I can't tell you how much that helps.'" And he's looking me in the eye telling me this. The man's a charmer. It's an abomination to God. And he was teaching me hypnotic secrets. You can literally go to the Hamburg Fair this year and you can go and they'll hypnotize you. I don't care who you think you are. They'll hypnotize you over there. You can hypnotize human beings by charm. Charmers and control. Their money, their bodies, charmers, hypnotists. Number five. A consulter with familiar spirits is a person who becomes a medium for a divining demon. A consulter with familiar spirits is an abomination to God. These are mistaken as a person. They are impersonators. Keep in mind that demons have been around. Demons were around when your grandma and grandpa were alive. You know that? Demons were around when your great-grandma and great-grandpa were around. In fact, they knew your great-grandma and grandpa. Did you know that? They knew your great-great-grandpa and grandma. They knew their voices. They can impersonate voices. I remember growing up, we used to go to my aunt's house and watch this comedian. And he could impersonate all these voices, just one right after another. We'd just sit there and howl and laugh. And, you know, he'd impersonate the president, and he'd impersonate them, and he'd say crazy things while he was impersonating them. He learned how to impersonate their voices. And there's many people that have gone to these consulters with familiar spirits and just would long to do anything to hear from their mother again, their father again, their grandma again, their grandpa again, and all of a sudden his voice comes. And they're deceived by it. A wizard. It's a male witch, a warlock, a Harry Potter. It's an abomination to the Lord. I don't think we ought to have our children reading that. Oh, it's just fiction. Yeah, well, you wouldn't let them read a fiction about a prostitute, would you? Or a thief or some con artist. By the way, what's wrong with reading the Bible? What's wrong with kids reading good books about the Bible or something? See, there's a lot of hype in this world, and they're trying to control our country, and they're trying to set a certain spirit. And the sad thing is to watch so many children of this world just to get locked in lockstep with the world and with this spirit just marching along, reading these books. A necromancer is one who talks with the dead or claims to be able to call up the dead to talk with the living. And we mentioned that a little bit, and some of these are very, very similar to each other. Now, these are things that are an abomination to the Lord. Ushers, if you could, whatever, however many of these we have right now, let's try to pass these out. Years ago, I wrote up this flyer, and it pretty much sits around here and collects dust, but we're going to get these into one of your hands here and go over it a little bit. Now, what's the problem here? Turn to Exodus chapter number 20. Why would these things be an abomination to the Lord? Why would these things be an abomination to the Lord? Maybe if we just have enough, maybe one per family or one per couple or something there on those flyers. I don't know. I should have found more. Oh, you do? How about that? All right. Well, hot off the press. Amen. Good. We'll have more. And I want you just to know this issue. I want you to know this subject from a biblical standpoint. And again, many people have been saved out of these lifestyles, and so they're not hopeless, but we need to pray for them. In Exodus 20, we have this great passage on the Ten Commandments, and it begins in verse 5 by saying this, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands that love me and keep my commandments." Notice as God is describing himself here in verse 5, he calls himself a jealous God. He said, "I am a jealous God, therefore I don't want you to have anything to do with the other gods of this land. I don't want you to make any statues of them. I don't want you to make any pictures of them. I don't want you to talk to them." He even went on to say, "I don't want you to make mention of their names." Now turn to Exodus 34, Exodus 34 and verse number 14. "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God." I want you to notice there's a capital J on the word jealous. The Lord whose name is Jealous. The Bible tells us many, many names of God. And God wants us to know, he says, "I want you to know that one of my names is Jealous," capital J. I am a jealous God. I am God. You are my creations. I made you. It is the Lord that hath made us and not we ourselves. He says, we are the sheep of his pasture. He made us, and he alone wants to lead us. But when somebody goes to a psychic, or when somebody consults their horoscope, or when somebody goes to the astrological tables, or to the tarot cards, or to the Ouija board, to the palm reader, or to the spiritualist, or to the Lilydale community, or whatever it might be, when somebody goes there, they are saying, no, God, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to seek some other source for direction in my life. And God is jealous. Now let me ask you this. Let's say you're a married man. I'll try to illustrate this. You're a married man, and you love your wife, but all of a sudden your wife starts hanging around with other men. And she doesn't hang around with you. She don't talk to you. And you say, what's this all about? And she says, well, you know, I'm just looking for some direction in my life. And I just need some advice once in a while. And so I go to talk to him, and I need some counsel once in a while. And I go talk to him, and I need some comfort once in a while. I go talk to him, and I need some intimacy once in a while. So I go talk to him, and so on and so forth. What emotion would that good husband have if his wife began to behave like that? It would be called jealousy. It would be called jealousy that his wife would go and consult with someone else about these things. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, if the man's a man at all, he'd have jealousy. Proverbs chapter 6 says, jealousy is the rage of a man. God said, my name is jealous. I want you to talk to me. I can give you all the direction you need. I can give you all the light you need. I can give you all the wisdom you need. I can give you all the understanding you need. In all thy ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct your paths. My word is a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. That's all you need is me and my word to go from the tomb, from the womb to the tomb, and have all the direction you need, all the questions you ever need answered. I can answer them for you. I am the all-sufficient God. Therefore, it is an offense to this God whose understanding is infinite. Psalm 147, verse 5, it is an offense to him when some human being says, I'm going to go consult a psychic, or I'm going to go see a wizard, or I'm going to go try to bring up someone from the dead for some comfort. Maybe I can talk to my daddy or mommy again. It is an offense to God Almighty when human beings seek anyone else beside him for direction and guidance in their life. God made us. He loves us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to guide us. He wants to answer our questions. He wants to give us direction. And all of these things lead us away from God. I mean, when was the last time you ever heard someone say, you know, I went to a seance and they told me I should trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I went to a psychic and he told me I need to go home and start studying the Bible, the Word of God, and get direction. When was the last time you ever heard advice like that? You won't. You won't. I read my astrological tables, and they said I need to get into a good local Bible-believing and preaching and practicing church. I followed my horoscope, and it led me to the foot of the cross of Calvary. No, no. No, no. Never, ever, ever does that happen. Turn to 2 Kings 1 and verse 16. 2 Kings 1 and verse 16. I warned you some of these would be a little longer than your usual messages, but you little kids, listen up, all right? You're doing all right. This isn't going to kill you. We haven't had anyone drop over dead yet in a church service in 24 years around here. And so you kids, you'll survive. You'll survive, all right? Now, I want you to notice here about the judgment of God that came upon somebody in 2 Kings 1 and verse 16. And it says this. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, now this is the king Ahaziah, For as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died, according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. You see that? The jealousy of God, you see that? This king went to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. And God said, because you went to inquire of him, you're not going to get off that bed of sickness. You're going to die. You're going to die for inquiring of any other god beside me. Sounds like serious business tonight. It sounds like it's something we ought not to have in our homes. And I want to encourage you to be thorough in your home about these things. Now, I wrote a flyer up years ago, and 20 questions and Bible answers on spiritualism and sorcery and witchcraft. And I put this out before the Harry Potter book started coming out. But there's many questions in here with answers, and we don't have time to go through all of them, but I want you to notice the flyer here. Question one, did you know that God commanded Israel that those who practice sorcery or witchcraft should not be permitted to live? Now, again, that's Israel. That's not America. And yet the law, however, shows us the righteousness of God. Exodus 22, verse 18. Number two, did you know that to seek to communicate with spirits or with the dead is to become defiled and unfit to appear before God to worship him? Leviticus 19, verse 31. Number three, did you know that God cuts off from among his people all who turn to mediums for help? Leviticus 20 and verse number 6. Did you know that capital punishment by stoning was God's sentence on any man or woman who calls up spirits? Leviticus 20, 27. Again, this is Israel, not America. And yet it shows God's righteousness against this wickedness. Did you know that witchcraft, fortune telling, and Numbers 5 and 6 are based on the text we read earlier in Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 14, and those eight abominations I showed you and defined for you earlier. Number 7, did you know that Samuel's most effective way of impressing upon King Saul the enormity of the sin of disobedience was likening it to witchcraft? When Samuel wanted to find something to liken Saul's disobedience, he likened it to witchcraft. Witchcraft is spoken against in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testaments. In Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20, it says this, now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, etc. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, of the which I tell you before, as I told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Number 8, did you know that King Saul of Israel, when he was faithful to God, cleared all the spiritist mediums out of the land? 1 Samuel 28:3. He had a few good years where he did some good stuff, and that's one of the things listed. Later, when he went bad, number 9, did you know that when King Saul later consulted a medium, it was only after his sins had made communication with God impossible? Number 10, did you know that King Saul's loss of his crown and his untimely death were the direct judgment of God on him for his dealings in spiritism? 1 Chronicles 10:13. Number 11, did you know that wicked King Manasseh's sins included consulting with spirit mediums, fortune tellers, and sorcerers? 2 Chronicles 33:6. I'm just reading these for those that might listen on the internet for the references is all. Did you know that one of the reasons God rejected Israel was because they practiced magic and communicated with evil spirits? Number 12, that's found in Isaiah 2 and verse 6. Number 13, Did you know that it is insulting to God to consult the dead when you can inquire of him? Isaiah 8, verse 19, and I read earlier what? 2 Kings 1, verse 16. It insults God. Who, by the way, will have the last word. Amen? He'll have the last word. Number 14. Did you know that a fortune teller may be demon-possessed like the girl in Philippi, out of whom Paul cast an unclean spirit in the name of Jesus? She, by the way, became a good Christian. Acts 16, verses 16 through 18. So some of these spiritists could be demon-possessed. The Bible says so. Number 15, did you know that the true Christians, like those at Ephesus, had nothing to do with black magic and its related practices? We read earlier, Acts 19, 19. They burned those books. When they really got saved, they said, we should have nothing to do with this. They burned the books. They burned them before all men. They wanted people to witness that they were cleansing their lives and their homes. Number 16, did you know that sorcery is included in the works of the flesh listed in the Bible? I just read that, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Number 17, did you know that those who engage in sorcery shall be shut out of heaven and banished forever from God? Revelation 21, 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers. We hear a lot about Harry Potter and the sorcery and the wizardry. It says they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 22:15, for without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now why would we want our kids to sit down and read about that stuff and be entertained by it? Number 18, did you know that the teachings of Spiritism are doctrines of demons? 1 Timothy 4:1. Demons are liars and they're good at it. A lot of what they say is 99% true. It's just the 1% arsenic they put in the truth that kills the person. Number 19, did you know that demons are subject to God's greater power and tremble before him? James 2:19, thou believest well, there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. These deceivers, they tremble when they think about God. Art thou come to torment us before the time? Now here's the one we got to close with, number 20. Did you know that the increase in following after subversive doctrines inspired by devils is one of the predicted signs of the last days and of the near approach of judgment? The Bible says in the last days, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. I believe there's going to be a great increase in the occult in the last days, in sorcery and witchcraft and wizardry. I believe these books like Harry Potter and everything are going to introduce some people to this dark, ungodly, unseemly world. And I don't think we ought to have any. What's at your house? You got a Ouija board there? We had a lady in church about a month ago who just consults the Ouija board for direction in her life. Sat right here in one of our services. One fellow years ago, the father came up to me and says, Pastor Cole, I'm concerned about my son. They don't attend our church anymore. They have about 10 years. Concerned about my son. I said, what's the problem? He says, I got this phone bill the other day. The phone bill was up around $300. I said, wow, what a phone bill. He says, yeah, my son's been calling psychics. And he said, it was shocking to me that he would do that. And so he said, could you talk to my son? I said, sure. So I talked to his son. I said, what in the world were you calling psychics for? And you know what his answer was? This is a young man came to this church. You know what his answer to me was? I just wanted to get some direction in my life. This church. You wouldn't believe what some of the things people in this church are involved in. And you need to get it out of your homes. You need to get it out of your homes. I don't care if it's a Ouija board up in the attic somewhere collecting dust, or tarot cards, or horoscope books, or books on astrology, or fictional books on wizardry. And by the way, a whole lot of the music in our homes is satanic. And a whole lot of the movies that we're piling up in our cabinets are satanic. And we're going to build ourselves a nice little fire next Sunday night out here after the Lord's Supper. You want to bring something down and burn it? Go ahead. Well, see, in the first century church, they got serious about this. We read it in Acts 19. They burned their curious arts. They said, we can't have these in our home, even though the books could have been sold perhaps for millions of dollars, according to the Bible. They were that expensive. They said, no, we're not going to give these to somebody else that might defile them. We're going to just burn them and get rid of them. And as a result, the book, the Word of God, began to prevail. I remember a missionary, and I'll close with this. A missionary came back, and the pastor, he was doing visitation with a pastor one day, and the pastor said, oh, while we're out visiting, let's go see so-and-so, this dear sister in the Lord. She loves the Lord, and she's just so sick all the time. She's so sickly and so weak and just can't get out to church, and she's precious. Let's go see her. And the missionary came from this dark, dark country of spiritism and false gods and false idols. And the pastor went in and went into the living room, and there she was, sick, laying out on the couch and everything. And the missionary went in, and to the missionary's horror, he saw all over her mantle all of these, what she just thought were trinkets, and statues of all these false gods from the country that he had come from. And he said to her and to the pastor, don't you realize that these things can bring a curse upon your home? And you need to get rid of these things. These things are no laughing matter in the country I live in. You need to get rid of these things. You know, that lady followed that missionary's advice, and very shortly after, she was healed physically, miraculously, and never had that sickness or weakness again. And I'm not trying to be spooky tonight. I tried to base everything I could on the Word of God this evening. We're talking about issues. We need to go to our homes and look through our cabinets and get rid of some of these movies and magazines, and the next time you pick up the paper and there's the horoscope, don't even be tempted to read the thing, or to follow the astrological tables, or find somebody who can read your palm or tell your fortune, or go down to Lilydale for a little trip, or call some psychic or whatever. This stuff's growing by leaps and bounds, and there's a great void in our country of people who are looking for answers. We've seen it at the fair. And they're going to find answers from somewhere. And that's, folks, you don't sell 16 to 20 million books on a subject in this country in a week's time if there's not a great void in people. And the children of our country are being ushered in to wizardry. We've seen what God says about that tonight. See? Curious hearts. Let's bow for prayer, and let's have an invitation tonight before we go home. Our Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, tonight, I've tried to deal with an issue. Lord, I don't know who has what in their homes, in their car, what they wear around their neck, what good luck charms or rabbit's feet, I don't know, what superstitions they hold to. But Lord, I believe you'd have us get rid of every last one of those things, to cleanse our homes and to throw it out or burn it or something. I believe it would even give this church in Eden more power. I pray for that young lady that came to this church a couple weeks ago. Lord, in spiritism and going to Lilydale, I know you love her. I know she heard the gospel while she was here. Lord, save her. You're the one that can give her light and direction. Lord, help us to abstain from all appearance of evil. And as your word says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. God, help us just to be clearly obedient to what your word says. Now, Lord, help us in this matter, and to be able to help others we meet. about this issue. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing page 118. Here's our help.